Good morning, everyone. This is Dr. V. You're tuned in to Dr. V and Prophetess Tanya on Dr. V with Love. Our platform today is Sage Talk about Creative Discipline. Welcome, Tanya. Okay, she's still there? Okay, great. Well, she was on a second ago. I hope she comes back again with us. We're excited about having her on the show today with us. And, you know, this is Monday all day long, I'm told. Does it feel like Monday to you? It certainly feels like Monday to me. We're so excited to be here with you today. We're trying something new because guess what? As I told you last night, I'm just sleepy at night. It's real sleepy. And so I didn't want you to hear my sleepy voice. I was telling Prophetess Tanya that last week, so we had to do something new today. And of course, as soon as I was ready to get on today, then I had a phone call. Little emergency call. So anyway, we know we're going to always have those kind of little hiccups. But again, it looks like Tanya's tuned back in. Is that you, Tanya?
It is me. Good morning.
Good early morning to you out on the West Coast.
Yes, it's early. Yes.
One of us have to sacrifice. Either I'm going to be sleeping at night or you're going to be sleeping in the morning.
Hey, that's right. You know, my day don't start till 2 o'clock, so I'm just kidding.
I know. See, and today this is my only day off of the week, and so you know I really covered sleeping in. I go, wow, why didn't I say Tuesday morning? So I'm looking at the clock. It's 9:30, going like, you know, I got a little bit more time. I got a little bit more time, and as soon as I get ready to get on the call. I had a great call that I had to answer, so I'm going like, okay, all right. This is Monday. We're going to do this. Because guess what? We're into discipline, and so if we put it on our agenda, we must meet our agenda.
That's right. So, that's right.
I don't know why I always have to go through what I do. So it's the case for everyone, right?
That's right.
Alrighty then. Well, I think we'll all wake up and we start praying. How about that?
That's right.
Can you
That'd
open
be good.
Us up with prayer? Can you open us up with prayer today? Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, sweet Jesus, we thank you this morning for just another opportunity to share across the lines, and I pray that you be in our midst. I thank you that you are already in our midst. And so, Father, I ask that you draw those who need to hear this broadcast. Holy Spirit, be the counselor, the teacher, the one who deposits wisdom as we talk this morning. And in all things, get the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I want to start the broadcast out today with just kind of sharing what we have been experiencing since we've been on this series of discipline and getting that discipline. Creative discipline is a really to embrace, because it's like that, to me, it's like that extra gift that God gives us, you know, the ability to be creative, whether it's in writing or singing or painting or you know, flower making, sewing, whatever, mm-hmm. all that little extra skill that you get from God that comes naturally. But even though it comes naturally, we still have to, be a good steward over it, as it were. You know, we have to, you know, we have to get some results from it. He doesn't just does not give us this gift for it to lie dormant in us. Like Miles Monroe said, you know, there's so many people go to their grave with all of their gifts and dreams, and, you know, within them.
Yeah.
You know, without being shared, you know, in the earth realm. So we don't want to be in that number. I mean,
no.
Really, right?
No. Right.
Okay. All right. So yeah, just, you know, we're going to pray it all in and see what it's going to be like to share what we're already doing in the area of our creative gift.
You want to go ahead?
No, you start. Don't start it.
What I'm doing as far as I'm sharing my creative gift.
Mm-hmm. This is the real question. How are you presently using the tool of discipline and using your creative gifts and employing your creative gifts?
Well, I'm making sure that I take time to write. I'm a poet, so I do a lot of my writing right now, and I'm making sure that I take ample amount of time to write and perfect what I'm writing. But not only do I write it and keep it to myself, I do share it. So I make sure that I am, like the Bible says, I'm stirring up my gift. I'm stirring it up because it is a gift, and it's an honor to be a vessel for God to use, you know, and he uses all of our gifts. So that's what I'm doing. I'm making sure that I take the time. I'm making sure that my wording is correct. And most of all, as I'm doing it, I am joyful about it. I'm
mm-hmm.
excited about it. Not just say, okay, here we go, here's another thing. So that's what I'm doing. I'm being intentional in planning my time to write and do whatever. If it's singing, same thing. I'm intentional about rehearsing. Yes.
Wow, that's good stuff.
Thank you. That's good.
I like that word, intentional. It's, you know, just,
yes.
And you know what, intentional, even about how you respond to, you know, your planning and your, from an emotional standpoint, you know, you just kind of, you bring the joy back, you know, into it. It's not like, oh, I got to sit down and write. It's kind of like, I got to sit down and write, you know. Or I'm going to play in a rehearsal, and I'm going to get there, and I'm going to do it. All right. I can tell you that I think that what happens with me is that I really lean a lot on the Holy Spirit to kind of stretch me in to share my gifts. For instance, I think it was on Friday night, when I got to the computer late, I've been doing something with myself in terms of when I come to the computer, be very focused about what I'm going to do, because I do a lot of my creative work on the computer. So if I know that I'm not ready to just do a particular task-related thing, I try to stay away from the computer because I can find myself spending hours just, you know, cruising my Facebook and responding to things. I do enjoy that, but I enjoy it too much because I give it too much time. You know, I'm one of those people who I love connections so much that I feel like if, you know, some of my friends on there, they posted something that, and I really want to let them know that I've heard them, I listen, so I take the time to respond. And but I got over 1,100 plus friends, or 1,300 something last time I looked at. I got a lot of friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to myself, you know what, I can't do this. I can't do this and come here and sit on the computer and really get some things out that I need to get out. So either I'm going to be really ready in my spirit focus to go in and just do that and not even turn on my Facebook or go in and just create and not do the, you know, do the drive-bys, or
mm-hmm.
I'm just not going to come. So I found out in the last couple of weeks since we've been doing the series on discipline, I've been kind of watching myself to see where I'm, for lack of a better word, just wasting my time only in relationship to the fact that I don't use my time wisely to focus on the creative part. You know, I'm doing something, but it's not adding to my task of getting some things out. So I found out that one way I was circumventing my own habitual way of coming to the computer and doing things is that I intentionally get this, because sometimes you have to trick yourself, right? I intentionally came on the computer like late at night, like everybody's like, you know, mostly, at least in my particular area. So I'll do an all-nighter when I can. Like I'll start at 11 o'clock. Like I started at 11 o'clock on Friday night, and I didn't get off until, what, 4 or 5 o'clock Saturday morning. And I got some things done. It was wonderful. You know what I'm saying? And so, so I'm working it. I'm still working. I'm working it to try to get it to where it makes sense that I can get some things done. You know, because I can't do an all night every night. But I felt a sense of accomplishment in that I circumvented that habit that I hadn't really broken yet, and still got some things done. And so I counted it a success, even though I had to, you know, be strategic in getting it done. So the Holy Spirit gave me the energy that I needed to really push through that night and get some things done, and I was happy about the result, you know, this year. And then today, this being my day off, I said, okay, let me get rested. I got some projects that I have to get completed today, because I'm going to start teaching Vacation Bible School tonight for a local church. So I said, okay, I've had an eventful week. Let me rest in so that my body won't be challenging me physically when I get on the computer and get these projects done. So after this show, I know I've got another 3, maybe 4 hours of just pushing some things through, but I'll be ready for it. You know, mm-hmm. I'll be ready for it because I have this, you know, I have this deadline that's driving me. And I know I can't get on here and mess around today, if that makes sense. But I'm aware that, Prophetess, I'm aware that I have to really work on disciplining myself when I come to the computer. I have my complete list. I changed the word do into complete. And so instead of having a to-do list, I have a to-complete list.
Oh, excellent.
And yeah, and so I have, you know, 20 things on there. I didn't put any deadlines on there, on that list yet. I'm looking at that list every day and going, like, what can I reasonably get done today? And that's the thing that I go for. I'm looking at a complete time for the time that I have allotted and available that day. Then that dictates the project that I'm going to start with. Okay?
Okay.
So, and then I find out that I'm not just kind of said, ooh, I got a lot of things to get done and I got days to get it done. I'm trying to... My goal is to get some things completed today. In other words, I don't get so caught up in what it is just to get to the completion of it. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. No, it does make sense because it feels good to accomplish, you know, something. Even if it's small, it's the accomplishment,
right.
You know,
right.
It makes you feel wonderful. Yeah, it adds to confidence, too. It adds to your confidence and self-esteem.
It does.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It does.
Yeah.
So, you know what we both have, I don't know if you can put your hands on yours right away, but we both have this book, The Artist's Way. And in week 4 of The Artist's Way, it talks about recovering a sense of integrity. Do you remember reading that? Have you got that for in your artist book yet?
I have my book. Where it's placed at this moment, I have to find it.
Okay.
Yes, you keep talking. I'll run right into it.
Okay. That rediscovering a sense of integrity is a serious week. It talks about honest changes, and so as we talk about discipline, just, you know, moving into a place of in the realm of completion, and when we talk about discipline, even in the relationship to our gifts. It really does embrace having honest changes. And so on the, even on the very first page of week four, it says, working with the morning pages, and I started morning pages and I stopped, but I'm going to pick up morning pages again because I find out that they give me a sense of it gives me a sense of a creative thought for the day, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because we begin to sort through the differences between our real feelings, which are often secret, and our official feelings, those on the record for public display. Official feelings are often indicated by the phrase, I feel okay about the job loss, her dating someone else, my dad's death. You know, it kind of, you know, it's a validation of how you're really feeling cool, right? And then she says, what do we mean by I feel okay? The morning pages force us to get specific. Does I feel okay mean I feel resigned, accepting, comfortable, detached, numb, tolerant, pleased, or satisfied? What does it mean? And when I was reading that, when she was asking this question, I was thinking about how our creative gifts flow and how we use discipline to get to a place of completion. It is when how much of how we are feeling before we start working on using our creating something have to do with the results, have to do with whether we complete it or whether we or when we do complete it, how it's going to impact our lives. So I want to really kind of pinpoint the whole awareness that a person who has a creative gift is about what strong emotions, what strong feelings drive them to the place of being disciplined. If that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm. It does. Mm-hmm.
It's
it
like
does.
You know, we can talk on this stuff. If we're in a general state, in a general season to where we may be grieving about something and we're all acquainted with grief. Let me give you this for example. Saturday I had a funeral that I could have gone to, but I chose not to go. It wasn't one of my clients. It was actually a longtime neighbor in my old neighborhood of about 16 years. I lived next door to this couple. Well, the father died, a young couple. He died of cancer. He lost his battle with cancer. And so he left a wife and two teenage children. Now, I've known these children since they were 3 or 4 years old, just little tots or what have you. We didn't have a very extremely intimate relationship, but they were our neighbors. I took them gifts every Christmas. You know, I see them out in the yard playing. You know, I speak to them or whatever like that. And you just aware that, you know, we had a longevity together for those 16 years. Well, in the when I left that home in 2009, also walking away from a 25-year marriage, and by that time my mom had already died. My mom had been dead for 2 years. And the neighbor who passed away came to my mom's funeral. You know, he was very instrumental in helping my mom, you know, throughout the course of those years and that kind of thing. So I remember sitting in front of the house the day after I found out that my neighbor had passed away, sitting in front of my old house and looking at their my old front door and their front door and sitting in the car thinking, I'm not ready to go in and talk to that wife right now. It was the death of my marriage, the death of my mom, another death of my neighbor, and this young wife grieving. And at the end of one of my work days, and you know I deal with death every day. So it was just too overwhelming for me personally. I remember coming home, sitting at my computer going, I wanted to write about how I was feeling in the moment. But it was layered on so many levels of grief. that I couldn't really write.
Yes.
I could think about it, but I couldn't write about it. You understand?
Oh, I do.
And but there's a sense in me that I know I'm going to have to write about it. So when the writer here in The Artist's Way asked about honest changes in the morning pages and how do we really feel? Do we feel accepting, comfortable, detached, numb, or tolerant, pleasing, what have you? It really prompted me to go, what feelings, do I really create from? Even if it's pain, even if it's confusion, what is that one feeling that I can attach a creative flow from and go with it? Or it could be any, several, you know, feelings. It was just an exploratory kind of, you know, thing for me. You know, what really provokes my creativity flow? What strong mm-hmm. feeling? That makes mm-hmm. sense? The question
yes, it does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it does. For me, it's the discipline that I've been writing for years and years and years. And as you know, I've been struggling with the illness. I do have an illness. But mm-hmm. the blessing of it is if I don't write, I will have more illness in my body. So
wow.
I've learned when I'm numb, I write.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm angry, I write. Because before, my poetry and some of my writings were really catchy, really commercialized, but I can't because I was not operating at a truth. But now, during this season, it has caused me to operate, because God said he wants truth in our inward parts.
Yes.
And I found out as I begin to write in my truth where I was or where I am, especially during grief, there has been such a release. And as I have released, I have felt God pour back in. And that's a hard place. You know, I never thought I could write from that place because it's personal. It's really personal. So I have learned, and what the Lord did for me in this moment, he took me to Psalms to show how expressive David was in his writing in any season that he was in. You know, there were times he hated his enemies. Lord, why you deal with the wicked? And then there's some times he was, you know, in praise. You know, I will bless the Lord at all times. So in whatever season you're in, it's like it's good to write from that. But I thank God for the discipline that was birthed out of my pain.
Wow, look at that.
Yeah.
So your emotions can really help you. You know, being in touch with them really help you in your discipline, because you're given liberty. It's not that you have to feel happy. It's just that, really, I guess that you're in touch with your feelings, whatever they are, right?
Yes. Yes, and it's okay.
And it's okay. Awesome. Wow. I was looking on my Facebook to go back to some particular, I know, I can go to my WordPress, because it seemed like whenever I get to a place, I blog a serious place that I have to just kind of like, you know, let the words speak to my spirit. I blog. And so when I do that, I'm able to get it out. And after I do it, I feel so much better.
Good.
I feel better, and I release it, and I share it with someone else, and, you know, there we go. When we complete something, and we find that, I don't know about you, I do, I find that it's not only it's not only healing for other people, but it's healing for myself. But it also puts me on a springboard for the next time that I create something because I learn so much from it. You know? The writer here goes on to say, okay is a blanket word for most of us. It covers all sorts of squirmy feelings, and it frequently signals a loss. We officially feel okay, but do we? At the root of a successful creative recovery is the commitment to puncture our denial. Stop saying it's okay, when in fact it's something else. The morning pages press us to answer what else. And so, and I guess that's what we've been saying, that when we just go ahead and get it out, we find out what that what else is going on besides being okay. I'm okay, and I'm also what else, whatever that other discovery takes place. I remember feeling when my mom passed away, I knew that I wanted to tribute her life with her being a woman of strength. But I couldn't write it at the time. So I asked one of my friends, Dr. Gail Hayes, out of North Carolina. I called her and I said, sis, could you write a tribute to my mom? And I would like for you to write about her based on what I believe she was a woman of strength. And she did an awesome job with it. And I was really okay with that because I guess I didn't know what else was going to come up if I started to write that. But I remember how strongly I felt about it. Mm-hmm. That it was to be a creative work. It was to make a tribute to her life. But it was okay if I didn't write it. And so sometimes you can be in touch with your creativity, but you can also be driven by some deep emotion to be not ready to let it flow.
Yeah, it does. And because it grieving in itself is painful. It's a painful thing. And that's just, it's like in those times, you're trying to find everything to find some comfort. So I understand that. You know, you can't always write, but at some point it will be released, and it could be released in the most precious way. And you don't have to, that's the thing, don't force it. Not forcing it. Yeah, because you could do yourself more damage.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, it's all to me when I looked at it, when I looked at how I was feeling about talking about this creative discipline, it all, I think that what I was getting a sense of is that there's so many different dimensions of who a creative person is. Like the scripture said, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. That, and we certainly express what is within us, but we also have the ability to release what is in us that we don't even know that's there. That makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I've seen it. We've all seen it. I've heard stories, you know, artists say, I didn't even know that song was in me, you know.
That's right. That's exactly right. Hey, where did that come from? From within. And so I guess we want to crusade on this call to our listeners, you know, be really okay with not only being creative, but adding discipline to your being creative, because it is really an opportunity for you to discover and rediscover what's in you. And certainly it will, you know, bless others as it has blessed yourself.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, and I like that. Let me add on that part down there, what you just said at the end of that sentence. Enjoy your own creativity.
Yes, ma'am.
Be accepting of your own creativity, because you can put yourself in an awkward place of constantly wanting the approval. Of course, we want everybody to like our art. Some people won't, you know, but you have to be okay. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Like God said at the end of creation, when He created, He said, "This is good."
Mm-hmm.
His creation was good to Himself.
Mm-hmm.
So we can do that and embrace that. You know, if you draw just a picture of an apple, be okay with that. Apple's beautiful. That's right. Celebrate your artistry.
Amen. And I'm glad you brought up that word celebration, because that's so a part of it. When, as a result of our discipline, we get to not only celebrate what we created, we get an opportunity to celebrate that we were disciplined about rendering that creation. It's kind of like you get to celebrate two great things. that mm-hmm. realm of completion and releasing and creativity, three great things.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I'm still looking for this one thing I believe I'm supposed to share. Let me go down into the ages part. Okay. In the meantime, did you create anything since we're all last on that you want to share?
Well, I didn't. I've written, of course, more poetry, but I created a DVD of my poetry, some pieces that I have selected, like She Phase 2 and talking about prayer and dealing with anxieties, all the things that, you know, we face, especially time to create, you know, and get your feelings out of how
mm-hmm.
you really feel, yeah, because it's a lot going on. So I wrote a poem. I had a writing session with a friend of mine, and so we came together to sharpen each other. And so it was just a little cute poem about keeping secrets.
Hmm.
Just something short. Would you like to hear it, or I can? You want me to do it later?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Right.
This involves relationship. A key holder to what matters. I mattered to him. He was the key holder. Sometimes you don't want to tell about it, nor do you want to explain what brings joy or what fragrance drives you insane. So you keep secrets, nothing prolific. Your experiences are yours. It matters in your life to have someone with the ability to be quiet, a shoulder to lay your head, a pillow upon the bed of your existence, my secret holder, my heart. Hey, this thought was a great start, you know. Oh.
Wow.
Well, just, yeah, and that was light, and that felt good to just write something light, you know. That's the zone I was in. So, yeah.
Wow. That is a good start. I like that, though. I like that direction.
Thank you. What about you? Have you written something lately that you want to share?
I haven't written anything lately, but I have... Well, I take that back. I have written something lately. I've been writing on my the church vision and mission. But I was looking for something that I had written some time ago. Excuse me. And I kind of get a sense of what it is. It was a creative piece. But and I generally post those up on Facebook if I don't go directly to my blog. And so I was looking for that, but I will say while I'm looking for that, I wanted to say that
You know, when God puts you in a vein, it seems like you everywhere you turn, you hear someone talking about that, and or if you find out if you like a particular car, then everywhere you turn, you see that car, that model of car. It's just moving into that area of awareness and sensitivity that you just, you know, is in your frequency, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm in that place right now. I'm recognizing everything that has to do. Of course, it's easy for me to write about love and talk about love, but, you know, every time someone else writes about it, I go, oh, wow, that is absolutely amazing what they just said about that. So my sensitivity is really focused in a particular area. All the different expressions that we can have about love, I'm interested in it. I get awakened to that. I get, you know, I just like, okay, I want to hear that. So I'm really excited about writing about it and teaching about it, I guess. And I do. When I start the church, when I take over the pulpit in November, I'm going to be doing a whole series from 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 through 11, where the Holy Spirit is just really, God is really, you know, admonishing us in this area. And so I'm excited about being able to pin something that is going to make a difference in the lives of my life and the lives of the people who read it. I don't know if you ever have that expectation when you're going to write about something. Oh, you know what? I've got a goal here. I want them to not just see this and go, oh, that's another thing about love. But no, I really believe that we need to take the word love from its just mundane, common use to a higher level of a commitment to demonstrate, if that makes sense. I just want to reference that as 1 John 4, chapter 4, verse 7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." Now, that, to me, that's a very heavy statement. First of all, it tells us what to do. Let us love one another. And then it tells us that for love is of God. In other words, love comes from God. And then he says, everyone who loves is born of God. In other words, I love because I am born of God. It is that is a direct link to my DNA with God. And then not only that, if I don't love, he who does not was love does not know God, then I don't know God. In other words, in order for me to love more, I have to know God more.
Mm-hmm.
For God is love. And, you know, I feel challenged by that because I can directly say, okay, if I'm having a difficulty loving this person, it means that I really need to go back to my Maker and say, Father, help me, you know, to love this person, because I cannot love this person in and of my own strength or my own wisdom or my own, you know, emotions. I have to source you out in order to love this person more, because you're the only place I can get it from. You know, I'm not going to love them more because the situation gets better or worse. I'm going to love it as a direct relationship to how I have immerse myself in you for the wisdom, for the releasing of anything in me, discovery of anything in me that's hindering me from loving that person to the utmost.
Does that make sense?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Especially
so,
have that genuine love. You know, you got to, just, you know, for the, because we, people throw around, I love you, but love is so sacrificial. But like you said, we have to immerse ourselves in his love that it will, and when we do that, it will come out effortlessly out of us.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I remember, I'm waiting for this, but I won't go to release it. Years ago, there was a writer. Her last name is Hammond. What is her first name?
Michelle.
She's a Christian woman. Yes. I don't know her, but I was so jealous of her. Why? Because she was spitting out all these books. It seemed like every year she was spitting out a book. And I'm going like, why does that upset me every time I see a new book? Yeah. Why? Because I wasn't writing. And I knew I should have been writing. And so I kind of put my energy on and let it just be, you know, like, who is she to be writing all these books? And all, and is she writing because it's real, or is she writing because she got a great marketing? I mean, I was, oh, my God, I was so into it. And I'm glad I was aware that I was having a problem with somebody that I didn't even know, and she didn't know me, and she probably, you know, we never probably would meet. But God allowed me to see that that was in me. And he said, now, what are you going to do about it? I'm going like, wow. How, you know, well, what do you mean what am I going to do about it? The woman doesn't even know me. She doesn't even know I don't like her.
See?
God said, that's not the point. You need to get in touch with why these feelings come up toward her based on what she's doing. She's in my will, but you're not. And so I'm concerned about you getting in my will. Hello?
Ooh,
you getting in my will. Okay? I mean, maybe if nobody does that but me, but I've had love-hate relationships with people I don't even know.
No, it's real. You know, that's a true play. Especially, that's a telltale sign you sidelined yourself too long.
Oh, yeah.
Just a tell. And either you okay, I'll put it like this. Either you've been sidelined by something or you have sidelined yourself. Because oftentimes when we compare ourselves with other people, we sideline ourselves.
Right, right.
Not saying, you know, not remembering. As they do it, I could do it too. Nobody is bigger than anybody.
That's it. You better tell somebody. And
that's
what I said. The same thing I gave her, the ability to write, I gave you. She's just what? Disciplined enough to get it done and released. I go, okay, you would have to go there, right? And he did. You know, and shortly thereafter, I got my first book done, and so I started liking her a little bit more.
See? Well, Bishop Jake said years ago, he said, if you did what I do, you can have what I've got.
That's it. You know, and it ain't nothing but the truth. It's nothing but the truth. Mm. And so, yeah. He used Michelle to provoke me to be about it, you know? And for that, I have to love her, you know?
Yes. Now that your eyesight has been adjusted, your perspective.
Yes, now that all that has taken place. You know, and I said, God, use the woman that I don't know, and my hating on her to get me in a place of discipline to get what I need to get done. And so I just get tickled at God sometimes, the lengths he had to go through to get us in for it. to get us to a place of discipline. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I can start with this one. I was looking for something that I've written earlier. This was only July the 7th, so that's not so long ago. As I said, I call it Yesology. I said, on Sunday, I got a beautiful awakening about how I had said yes to God, but without joy and gratitude. Of course, I know that scripture says that God loves a cheerful giver, but I had not observed my attitude. My grumbling, complaining, contrary, unholy disposition about saying really, yeah, right, to God versus yes to your will and yes to your way, Lord. I didn't want to do it for so many conflicting reasons, which I had never presented to God so he could heal them for me. Yes, my reasons, justifications, stresses, and protesting came from places of woundedness and all needed to be healed. Fears hidden way deep in my reasons with a defensive resolve to get God to change his mind about his purpose for my life. God was silent between the two contrary, yeah, right, and the yes. And now I understand why. He was waiting for my will and my willfulness to be confronted by his love, patience, grace, and mercy for me. I repented because I know that God could call so many others more capable than me, but he thought enough of me to choose me to do his work for his glory. And I had the audacity to resist and begrudge and doubt his plan and purpose for my life. When I understood that saying yes to God's plan and purpose for my life with joy was an act of giving bountifully what he had already fearfully and wonderfully created me to be, I wanted to purpose in my heart to give God all. As Elder Tressie said, give God no excuses. I want to be cheerful in saying yes because I had already been given the grace to accomplish what God had purposed for me. He had gifted me already with the anointing to do so. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Yeah. So when I wrote that, it was out of a flow that I had from just getting through that breakthrough, with saying yes. It was an easy flow. It was easy for me to publicly repent because it was such a great, eye opener that God will heal your reasons for resistance. That's powerful to me. I don't know about anybody else. Yeah. Come on. Sometimes, probably tell you, we need our reasons healed.
That's right.
Because our reasons are
concerned about it.
Go ahead.
I was just saying, he's concerned about what concerns us, even the smallest thing. And we think, reason. You just said a word right there. He will heal our reason. Let me put that down. Heal, Lord, our reasoning. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Wow. Well, we have 5 more minutes in the broadcast, and I hope somebody got something out of it. I don't consider it rambling. It's been kind of like, let's just talk about how feelings kind of challenge our own discipline to do things. This is what I wrote June the 29th in our closing. Crystallized thought. The shape I am in today has everything to do with the decisions that I made yesterday, last week, last month, last year, and perhaps as long as 10 years ago. However, today, embracing discipline, my tomorrow
could reflect the decision I made to commit to a more disciplined lifestyle today. I am Dr. V, and I endorse my own word. Amen. Stay tuned to Dr. V with Love. We're going to continue our stage talk about the plan because guess what? We want to get down the road with it. We want to get to a point where we hear feedback from you saying, you know what? Because you've been teaching on discipline, I'm just embracing it and I'm getting more things done to the glory of God. My life has changed. I've had some honest change in my life because I have finally looked at my lack of discipline and how it is impacting my life, holding up my creativity, keeping me from accomplishing some of my goals and really slowing down the progression of the fulfillment of my purpose here on the earth. For whatever reason that might find you in that place, let us hear from you. So we will also be able to judge how effectively we are sharing in this particular topic, because we really want to help somebody. We really do. And we know that we're being helped. We don't want to be stingy. We want you to get help as well. So let us hear from you. In that regard, I pray that each of you have a fantabulous, love-filled, disciplined week, and you, with joy, celebrate what you were able to create. Amen. 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 Thank you, Pastor Tanya, for being on with us today.
You're welcome.
Top of the morning to you. I'm moving into the afternoon in just about 3 minutes. But guess what? I'm going to look at my to-complete list and choose a few things to complete, and I'm going to celebrate it. All right?
Well, you have a wonderful day. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for listening, either live or archived. God bless you. Till next Monday, 11 a.m.